Amen, amen, amen. So last time that I spoke with you guys, we looked at where Jesus said, follow me. And what we looked at is, what did that look like for his followers when he said, follow me? So today we're actually going to finish that verse. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So we're going to look at today some things that Jesus has already made us and some things he is still in the process of making us. So I want to start with a story. Pastors like to have stories and illustrations. Amen? Thank you. Because it helps us take the word and apply it to us. It's just not out there somewhere. And so if I could have brought the object lesson today, I would, but I couldn't. So it's just going to be a story. And this story is about Marvin the Critter. Now, Marvin, I'm not going to tell you what kind of a critter he is, but you'll probably figure it out as we go along. So Marvin, he gets up in the morning and he has his routine. He eats, he has a little work he needs to do, and then he has some recreation and he goes to sleep. So Marvin is pretty content with his lifestyle for a while. Eat, sleep, work, entertainment. And then he feels like, you know, there might be a little more to life than I'm experiencing. So I'm going to venture out just a little bit. Now, Marvin's a pretty good Joe for the critter that he is. He tries to get along with the other critters. Some of the critters don't always treat him nice, but he tries to do his best to treat them nice in return. He doesn't start the fights or anything like that. So he's getting along in his habitat. And he decides he wants to see, you know, I wonder what's over here. So he ventures out a little bit and he gets so far and he hits a barrier. Now what is so odd is he can see beyond the barrier, but he can't get past the barrier. So Marvin says, you know, it didn't work going that way. That what I thought might be my destiny and my direction to go. So I'm going to turn 90 degrees and I'm going to go this way. And he only gets so far and he hits another barrier. He's like, well, this is frustrating. I feel like I'm called to do more than just eat, sleep, work, and have entertainment. You know, people keep telling me to look up. So I think I'll go up. So he goes up. And this time he hits a barrier that he can't even see beyond. It's just like, right there it is, you know, like this lovely ceiling we have here. You know, we can't go higher than the ceiling. I mean, it's plenty high for me, but some of the rest of you, like Jack, I think he can scratch it when he just stands up. And so he hits this barrier, and it's frustrating. It's like, okay, I can't even go up now. What is my destiny? What am I supposed to do with my life? And one day, as he's going about his normal routine, he falls asleep. And when Marvin wakes up, he feels different. Things have changed. He feels more alive, and he feels like, you know, I think maybe now I should try going up. But when he looks, he has some baggage. He has some covering he has to shake off. Have you figured out what Marvin is yet? And he shakes this off, and he looks. He's still Marvin, but now he has something he didn't have before. He has wings. And so he starts to fly around his habitat, and he goes, well, it didn't work to go up before. I wonder if I can go up now. Well, what he didn't know was his owner, his master, knew that once he got into that cocoon, one of these days he was popping out of that cocoon, And so he'd been watching, and when he saw Marvin shedding the cocoon, he lifted off the top of the gallon aquarium, which was Marvin's habitat with a bunch of other little critters in there with him. And Marvin now flew out the top of the aquarium because that was his new destiny. So now as I go about the message, I want you to think a little bit about how we're like Marvin and what happened that completely changed us, even though part of us is still me. Like, I accepted the Lord. I became a Christian, a believer, a follower of Jesus when I was a junior in high school. And I was still Steve, like I was the day before. But according to the scripture, I now have become a whole new creation. I'm no longer a little green caterpillar whose destiny is to just live in this fish tank, this fishbowl, and not ever go any further. I now have a destiny to fly. I can now go above and beyond that area of confinement and find out what God has for me to do. Amen? So we have a new destiny and a new identity. Just like when Jesus said to these guys, hey, you spent your whole life training how to be fishermen, and I am going to make you fishers of men. New destiny. So then the question for this morning is, in what ways has Father God already changed me, and in what ways is he still working on me? You and me. In Isaiah 64, it says, O Lord, our Father, you are the potter, we are the clay, we are all formed by your hand. In Isaiah 45, it says, does the clay argue with its maker? I've been doing a little arguing with the Lord. I don't know if anybody else does, but it's been a frustrating week. My vehicle died, could not be repaired, or, well, it could be, but it would cost as much as getting another vehicle. And I planned on having that vehicle at least 2 or 3 or 4 more years. So the Lord and I, the clay, argued with the potter this week. Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it? So that means that some of us, and I was talking with another pastor this week, and the person said, you know, the messages that the people get, you know, they're working on them and they're trying to apply them to their lives. And I'm like, yeah, but for me, because I've been working on it all week, it's not a 35 or 40 minute experience. These scriptures are going through me all week and I'm working on them. So that's the way this week has been. But the potter has a very specific destiny for each of us, a way he wants to form us. But even as clay, we grumble sometimes, don't we? So then the question is, are we going to allow him? Allow him. See, Marvin could have said, wow, I'm a whole new creature. I got wings and I can fly now. But you know what? I'm pretty content just living in this 25-gallon fish tank. I'm not sure I want to venture out into new territory and do new things. Are we willing to pursue the destiny that he has for each of us? So we're going to look at just a couple ways that we've already been changed and some ways that he is still transforming us. So now you can turn to the scripture with me. I don't give you every one of my references because I want you to pay attention and not be flipping through. But the main text for today is 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Give you all a minute. The Word of God is living and active. And I'm thankful that as I'm a vessel, I'm not responsible for what the Word accomplishes. He is. because some weeks the vessel is feeling pretty weak. But you know, if he could use Balaam's donkey, he can use me, right? This means that anyone who belongs to Christ, I like us always to pause and make sure we know who we're talking about. Who belongs to Christ in here this morning? Wow. Mr. Sonny. Okay. Just wanted to make sure there, buddy. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become, doesn't say will be, has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God. Amen, 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 amen. Who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us, this is another whole sermon, but I want to finish the scriptural reference. God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. I think we're getting a little glimpse here of our destiny as new creatures. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Excuse me. So that new creature, that new person, that word means that he fabricated us. That means that he built us. He built something brand new. It's done by the manufacturer. So, in what ways are you and I new creatures in Christ? We're going to look at three today. First one is, we are now dead to our old way of life. We are now dead to our old way of life. Now, remember with Marvin, we said, you know, he could still choose to go back into his aquarium. He could still choose to walk around and limit himself to his past experiences if he chose to, but he didn't any longer have to. We are dead to our old way of life. What we wanted to do, how we wanted to do it, and when we wanted to do it. But it takes us a while to reckon that as fact, doesn't it? Because I have days where I want to do what I want to do, how I want to do it, and when I want to do it. And so if I don't pause and say, God, what do you want me to do today? And how do you want me to do it? And when do you want me to do it? In Colossians, it says, you were dead because of your sins. He made you alive, having forgiven all of our sins. It also says, you have died. You have died, and your real life is hidden with Christ. Okay? Our old self is dead. Our new life is in Christ. In Romans 6, it says, our old self was crucified with him. Okay, so you guys all understand past tense. It means these things have already been done when we accepted Christ. Our old self was crucified with him. We are no longer slaves to sin. Before Christ, we were slaves to sin. It really was difficult not to sin. But now that we've been born again, we're not slaves to sin. We can still choose to sin. But do any of you wake up in the morning and say, boy, I'm just going to go out and sin today? No, our goal is not to. And I don't know if you ever think that you do have days, but I do. I think occasionally I have days where I don't sin. I mean, maybe it's days that I just stay home by myself, so there's not as much interaction. I don't know. But there are days where I get through the day and it's like, well, that wasn't such a bad day. You know, I didn't yell at the person in front of me and call him nasty names, not curses, but, you know, who pulled out in front of me, and I had to slam on my brakes, and, you know, all those kind of lovely things on 81. I seem to have that experience every day I'm on 81. And, you know, I don't remember hating anybody. I didn't steal anything. I didn't lie. You know, wow! Okay, I actually had a day that I didn't sin. So we are no longer slaves to sin. We can choose. And then it says, consider or reckon yourselves dead to sin. So we are dead, but then there's a reckoning process. And that word means, let the word convince you. Okay? So we have to become convinced that what the word says, that our old man is dead, is actually true. Consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. So number one, we're already dead to our old way of life. Old way of life. We are already dead to our old way of life. Number two, we are now part of a new kingdom. Come on. You realize being part of a kingdom means that you're serving a new king. And the king that we are serving as Christians just happens to be the king above every other king. Revelation says the king of kings. Okay? No one higher than, no one above. 1 Peter 2:9, if you want to follow along. 1 Peter 2:9, it's up to you. You are a chosen people. See, now we're in present tense. You are a chosen people. You are royal priests. Huh? Talking about us-ins? Yeah, it is. Talking about us. Show and proclaim the goodness of God who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We once were part of the kingdom of darkness. We're now part of the kingdom of light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. For you are all children of the light. You are children of the light. We don't belong to darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5:5. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me. See, that's how we started. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of life. So number one, we are now alive in Christ and dead to sin. We're alive in Christ and dead to sin. Number two, we have been transferred into Jesus' kingdom. Those happen. Okay? Just as Marvin the caterpillar became the butterfly, he didn't have to do much work at all. He just had to surrender to the process and he became. When we accepted Christ, we said, God, forgive us of our sins. We choose to follow Jesus the rest of our lives. Follow Jesus the rest of our lives. That happened. We became alive in Christ and dead to sin, and we were transferred into Jesus' kingdom. Third thing we already are is a son and a daughter of that king. So we're just not part of a kingdom. We're just not His servants. We are to serve Him, but we're serving Him as sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. Romans 8 tells us that we are not slaves, but instead we have received God's Spirit when He adopted us as His own children. Chose us, adopted us into His family. It also tells us that His Spirit joins with our spirit to let us know inside. You know, like we could think it with our mind, but His Spirit convinces our spirit, yes, we are children of God. So allow His Spirit to do that. When you have one of those days where you think, you know, if I was a child of God, I wouldn't act like that. I wouldn't think these thoughts I'm thinking. I wouldn't get as discouraged as I'm getting. I wouldn't be depressed. I wouldn't be frustrated. You are a son or a daughter of the King. Let His Spirit remind you of that. Things you already are. A son and a daughter of the King. In 1 John 3, it says, see how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children. And that is what we are. See, John knew that we would need convinced. We would have days and weeks where we needed to be reminded. So he said that, yes, Father calls us His children, and that is what you and I are. No question about it. Dear friends, we are already, okay? Remember, we're talking about what has already happened. You are already God's children, but He has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we know that we will be like Him. Ah, that gives us a hint where we're going to talk about what we have not yet obtained. Okay, so the three things we already are. We are now alive in Christ and dead to sin. Alive to Christ, dead to sin. Okay? Oh, some of you look like you're getting a little sleepy. Sorry about that. Let's do, I am dead to sin. I am dead to sin. I am alive in Christ. All right? You alive back there? Woo! All right. Yeah, we are, we are. Number two, we have been transferred into Jesus' kingdom. Let's say, I belong to the King. I belong to the King. We are part of His family. So, we're going to say, I am a son or a daughter, okay? Don't get confused which one you are this morning. That's another whole topic. I am a son of God. Amen. Already are those three things. So, the final point we just alluded to, we shall be like Him. Anybody there yet? Yeah. How about, do you feel like you've made some progress since you became a Christian? That maybe you're a little more like Jesus now than when you started the process? And you know the best way to tell that is to go through the fruit of the Spirit. When you read through the fruit of the Spirit, do I have a little more joy than I used to? A little more peace? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control? No? Yeah, a few of those. The patience. I just never seem to do good with that one. That's probably my biggest struggle out of that list. But do you feel like you've made a little progress with at least some of them? Yeah, and I can tell that the person sitting next to you is thinking, yeah, well, that person could use a little more of that. So, you know, there's a little more poking going along and giggling. But how about you look for yourself? Have you made some progress? And isn't it funny, though, we pick up the negative sooner? Like when I read that list, what jumps out at me is the ones I need more work on. Well, how about congratulating ourselves on the ones that we're better on than we used to be? Can we do that this morning? I can see the victory. I became a little more Christ-like in that area than I was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, however long it was. 2 Corinthians 3:18. You want to take a minute and look at that? Excuse me, I'm going to get a Halls. I'm recovering from a sinus infection and making my throat scratchy. So are you there? All right. Tina, how about reading that one for us? Yay. So the Holy Spirit makes us more and more like Him. That word is being transformed. Okay, so it's a lifelong process. It's not instant. We didn't instantly become like Jesus, but we're being changed, we're being transformed, and it's as we see Him more clearly. Romans 12:2. Nancy, do you have that one? You're still back in 1 Corinthians? That's okay. That's okay. You got it? Okay. Romans 12:2. Yep. Yes. Do not copy the behavior and customs of the world. Okay, so it's a choice. Do not. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Changing the way you think. See, changing the way you and I think changes the way we act. So that's why he's working on this part right here. Because if we think correctly, then we'll act correctly. And changing what you believe will change how you think. So we have to make sure we're believing the right thing. That will change how we think, and then that'll affect our actions, our behavior. Okay. Finishing that verse. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. See, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Getting to know His will, His destiny for us. So part of this process of being changed into Jesus' image is making sure that we're believing truth and not believing any lies. Boy, it's really easy because okay, let me start that sentence over again. I was thinking three things at one time. We have so much information coming at us that sometimes it's easy just to accept that something is true when it's not. It might be what people have called us, what they've said about us, you know, what we've said about ourselves when we're not having a good week. You know, I said earlier, like we might think, boy, I'm not a son of God if I act like this or a daughter of God, and that's not true. So it all starts with us choosing to believe truth and not a lie. That will change how we think. That'll change how we act. So if we want to become more like Jesus, and we become that way by seeing Him more clearly, I don't usually make my sermons audience participation, but I wanted to this morning. So, don't give us a sermonette, but I want to hear some responses. We need to spend more time with Jesus so that we get to know Him better. How do we do that? What's some ideas? Open our hearts. Okay. Thank you. Set aside time. Wow. Yeah. For me, if I don't make the time, it's not going to happen. My day is going to zip by. And I'm like, wow, a couple days just went by. Okay? Did I see a hand over here? While you're driving? Okay, so what are you doing when you make time? What do you, are you doing during that time? Okay, talking to him. Okay? Okay, so when we're talking about spending time with Jesus, you're saying for you that means being in the Word? Is that what you're... Okay, part of it, being in the Word. Okay, another one. Uh-huh. Meditating on it. Yep, there's people that know Scripture that aren't even Christians. It says the devil knows the Word of God. So, yep, you have to meditate on it and apply it. Okay? Worship. Yep, worship. Yep. I think there's a song. Standing. Did I see a hand over here? Yeah, so that sounds like practicing the presence of God. If you've never read that book, that's a really good book. It was written long, long time ago by a monk. And he, you know, you don't really think about monks practicing the presence of God, but he wanted people to know that, you know, one of his jobs was scrubbing the pans in the kitchen. He said that's where he always had rich fellowship. It was just him in the pans, and he talked to God, and he got to know his voice. Wait a minute, knowing the voice of God. I think we have a class about that today at 12:15. Okay, anything that I missed that you wanted to share that helped you to see Jesus more clearly? Yes, absolutely. Because how many times do we think about, boy, if I hadn't done that in the past, said that in the past, they hadn't treated me that way in the past, and then for a lot of us, it's like, okay, well, how about next month? How about next week? How about next year? And so we're either here or here, and we should be living the song we sing right in the middle, because that's where God is. Yes, if we say we're becoming more like Jesus when we spend more time with Him and get to know Him better, for you, how do you spend time with Jesus and get to know Him better? Sure. Yeah, because we started with the concept that Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And we looked last time that, you know, you can say, sure, I'll follow you, Jesus, and then Jesus says, well, I'm going into Samaria. And you're like, yeah, I don't go into Samaria. I'm going into Samaria. Yeah, but I don't go into Samaria. I'm going to go talk to a woman at a well. I don't talk to women at a well. See, We have Marvin, who they lifted the top off of the thing, and he now had the whole living room he could fly around in. Maybe flying around in the whole living room scares you. You know, Jesus calls us out of our comfort zone. He had spent his whole life in that fish tank, and he knew all the barriers. And he knew things couldn't get him, and he couldn't get out. And now Jesus opens a whole new destiny for us. What's that look like? Absolutely is a choice. Yes, absolutely, because there's people who have accepted Christ and then never did anything with it. They never went to church, they never read their Bible, but they say, well, I accepted Christ when I was, well, that's great, but again, what's the fruit of that? Because Jesus said we would know the tree by the fruit, and so there should be some fruit being produced. Something should be happening. Commitment. Good. Yep. Yep. If I'm married to Stacy and we never spend any time together and never talk, then that's not really a relationship, is it? I have the certificate. Okay. I attended Sunday school every Sunday for 15 years and never missed a Sunday, and I have 15 gold stars, but I never talked to Jesus. Oops. Maybe I shouldn't have said that out loud. Okay. Thank you for giving me permission, church. So it is, it's a choice. Thank you. It is a choice. Am I this week going to allow him to transform me? See, that's our first choice we have to make. Because the older I get, the more set in my ways I am. And I used to remember thinking of that about my mom and dad. And now I'm becoming my dad. It's like, oh, Jesus. And I like to do things certain way. I like my routine. I like my comfort. But Jesus calls us out of that, doesn't he? So we have to first make the decision, okay, God, I'm not sure what I'm committing to here, but I will allow the potter to do what he wants to the clay this week and change me the way he wants to change me. So that when I am asked this question a year from now by a pastor, have you made some progress in the fruits of the Spirit during this last year? I can say, yeah, the pot still has some rough edges, but some of the edges actually got smoothed out this past year. And then if we say our goal at the end of our lives is to be more and more and more like Jesus, and the way we become more and more like Jesus is by knowing him better and spending time with him, then again, that's our choice. Will I do that this week as I'm driving? Will I read the word this week? Will I talk to him? I mean, I could say, will we pray? But sometimes that sounds so religious and so official. You know, I don't pray to Stacy. I spend time with her so that I get to know her. And I think sometimes he just wants us to talk to him. Tell him about our day, and then we can enter into prayer. You know, God, I really need this. I'm really believing for this. But I just thank you that you're with me today, and that where I go, you go. And when I'm driving in this vehicle, you're here beside me. And I'm never alone, even when I'm frustrated, upset, discouraged. Never alone. Yes. And that you loved me enough. Come on. To send Jesus to die on the cross for me, raise Jesus from the dead, so that my name could be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I could have eternal life, but also abundant life here. See, that's what we're talking about. It's one thing to say, well, when I die, but how about now? And we read that we are God's ambassadors. So everywhere we go, we are representing him. So then the question is, if we didn't announce that we were God's ambassadors, would people know that? And second, how good of an ambassador were we? I've had days where I've got frustrated and maybe I wasn't such a good ambassador. Or I talked to customer service and I waited 40 minutes for them to get on. And then when they get on, they won't help me with what I need help with. And I get frustrated and grumble and raise my voice a little bit. And then sometimes even before the end of the conversation, I'm like, okay, I'm really sorry I did that. Can we try getting this resolved today? Or something like that. But a lot of times I'll hang up and I'm like, wow, if they knew I pastored a church. And again, I don't curse, you know, but I raised my voice and I was a little nasty. This is my third call. Two calls ago, you were going to resolve this. This still isn't resolved. It's taking all this time. Could you please do something today? What kind of ambassadors are we? And it said we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. So what that means is when we're representing God, we've been reconciled, right? Okay, let's do this again. I'm almost done. Don't fall asleep on me. Who has been reconciled to God through Christ? Okay, yay! So, we now were given the ministry of reconciliation. That means we get to go and say to someone else, hey, do you know God sent Jesus so that you could be reconciled with Him? And we can tell them what we learned today. Okay? You can be forgiven. You can be set free. You become part of a new kingdom. All of those things we learned that has already happened, we can tell them that that same thing applies to their life if they accept Christ. That's some pretty good news. Some pretty good news.